Here, caller, can you hear me? I've got somebody that keeps calling back, so in any event, thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Justinian.
Wow, it's been a long time since I've read your code, but what's going on, Justinian?
Well, this is an old chestnut in a sense, but a couple of weeks ago, several times you mentioned that Jorge Ramos was not a citizen of the United States.
He is
America,
citizen.
And I haven't listened consistently. So, did you ever readdress that?
Well, is this is the Justinian, Mr. Justinian code? You're the same guy that called up and called yourself Hammurabi. So
exactly,
point,
you're right,
Justinian. What you like to do is you find a little mistake and then you come on and try to show everybody how uninformed I am. He is
even more profound than that.
This is my show.
I was wondering.
Call in and point out that I made a mistake. I don't mind that, but do you have a bigger theme?
Well, yeah.
I'm
wondering if you did not know whether he was or wasn't.
He is a citizen. I've just addressed that, but he's not from America, and he's from America. I'm sure you'll point this out too. He's not from North America. The top part, he's from Mexico, but. What is it about Jorge Ramos that you find interesting?
Well, the fact that he became a citizen because he admires the United States. So that I think that's a positive thing.
Okay.
No, what I was going to say more profoundly, I think, is if you didn't know whether he was or wasn't, because I presume or I know you would never say he wasn't if you knew he was. But what would motivate you then to give what would be a pejorative coloring?
By the way, pejorative coloring doesn't have to do with his color, I'm sure, but to give a negative slant. You, sir, are you a college professor by any chance?
No.
What industry are you in?
I'm retired. I'm in the leisure industry. I'm retired.
Do you sell motorhomes? No, just kidding. But, all right.
Yeah.
So what field were you in before you became a occasional commentator?
Well, human resources, a mediator, philosopher.
Attorney. So
right.
Wait.
No, I never touched something like that.
All right. So let me ask
now,
you this.
Can I move on to one other thing?
Let me if I'm at the typical way the show goes, I ask you a question, you listen, you respond to it. What does Jorge Ramos represent in your opinion that that I have not addressed or that's important?
Nothing. I have no great sympathy or antipathy towards Jorge Ramos at all. Just the fact that I was curious whether he was a citizen, because I likewise at that time when you said he wasn't, I didn't know either.
Yeah.
Then I went online and found out. That was all.
Okay. Let me ask you this: maybe some I do make mistakes like everybody else, but except mine are broadcast on the air. When I said that he was not a citizen, he was, but he is not coming on the air to represent the average citizen's position. He's representing, I think, what he would consider to be probably the opinion of a lot of people in North America, which are Mexicans or Mexican Americans. But let me ask you this: in this presidential debate, do you see anything positive coming out about it? Some people have said Trump is kind of going after the political class itself, and that he's doing a public service. What do you think about that?
Well, he's representing the angst or the anger of people with the political movement or lack of same. You know, we've got Medicare, we've got Social Security. We do have refusal to okay that lending operation of the government for our major competitors or major industries has had some negative effects already with GE and somebody else moving jobs either overseas or closing stuff down.
All right.
So what I think is the major problems are not being addressed at all by anybody up there.
Well, immigration was something they did. I saw a poll there, 91% of the people feel like the immigration is a problem. So immigration was kind of being danced around by both parties. And, you know, Marco Rubio had already said that he wanted to naturalize the people that were here already. It was kind of being paved over when Trump came in. He brought it up. Trump is an iconoclast, which means
right.
He goes around smashing the political idols. What do you think are the top – let me ask you this since you think about it a lot. What are the top three problems facing America in this next election cycle?
Well, I think perennial problems are Medicare, the incredible deficit that it's incurring. Social Security can be easily fixed with one or two easy maneuvers. So those are both things which are impoverishing the country's future. And I think they should be addressed.
All right. How about this for problems? Number one, the Middle East is a tinderbox that could blow up especially the Iranian agreement. And what do you think about what's going on
over
there? Okay,
now the Iranian agreement, I have an interesting comment there, I think.
Go ahead.
29 of the major scientists who are most knowledgeable about the whole nuclear field are in favor of the agreement. Now, that doesn't mean it's good, but they're presenting from the political angles, which anybody can take a stand on. But just strictly on, are we able to control Iran's interest in trying to get war-type nuclear facilities? They seem to think that this is a good, not a good deal. Well, yeah, it's a good deal, but not the best deal.
Not a great deal. Let me ask you this, Hammurabi Justinian. Let me ask you this. Have you studied the Iranian beliefs, specifically the Shia and the doctrine of the Mahdi, which is kind of their version of the...
Persian lore is not one of my fields.
It's not actually
fields.
Persian lore. It's Arabic in origin, but it is Muslim. What concerns people is this idea that the Mahdi, and people have heard the terms occasionally, the Seveners or the Twelvers, there's this idea that the Mahdi or the great leader there, their Messiah basically is in hiding, what they call technically occultation. When the time is right, he's going to kind of come out of suspended animation. He's been in there for 1,000 years or whatever. He's going to come out. He's going to lead the Muslim people, and basically through it, it is a type. It's kind of a take on the apocalypse of the Christian Jewish last days. He's going to bring in the period of paradise, but they have to go through this apocalyptic period, and basically in which all of the non-believers are wiped out. Now, that's one of the reasons that people are so nervous about the Iranians or Shias, and that's their beliefs.
Well, I think it is a danger, because I think I saw somebody very much on a conservative thing on line here, one of the speakers, that it's really a political movement parading as religion, and it could almost be that form of Islam is a mental illness.
Well, let me ask you this. That's something that I threw out because I feel like Islam is different apples and oranges from the other religions that we've seen now. It may be similar, like if you go back 1,000 years or whatever, to Catholicism or this kind of this fight for Europe and everything. But if Islam is more active as a political agent than as a religion, is there any way we can, you know, I know that we basically give an enormous amount of deference to religion, but is it possible that we're miscategorizing it?
When we call it a religion, you mean?
Well, when we categorize it as a religion, what if it?
Yeah,
was a,
well, I think that some very astute people think it's really a political movement parading as religion, at least that segment of it now, because evidently there's a lot of other people in Indonesia and so forth who are rather peaceful and not belligerent as the Middle East factions are.
Right. Okay. So would it be fair to say that you're somewhat of a supporter of the president?
Yes. Yeah. I honestly, I'd have to say yes.
I was going to
get
that.
He's not perfect, but
give me a grade that for him in terms of how he's done.
Well, maybe B minus. I would say in aspiring to have health care for everybody, as awkward as it is, although I just found out that my doctor's visit under my is going to be cut in half from $10 for the family physician to $5 a visit.
Congratulations.
My copay.
Does that mean you're going to double up on your visits?
Hopefully not. Hopefully not. In fact, I'd like to reduce them to zip.
Right.
Except for my annual wellness visit.
Well, you must take care of yourself pretty well. All right. So is there any area that you would give Obama a failing grade?
I think his failure to be more actively involved in a positive way with the House and the Congress. Yes. I think he's been too aloof. And I think that's been one personal characteristic that's been criticized.
All right. So who would you support on the Democratic side for this next presidential race?
Well, I think Hillary is tainted, so I think we have a problem there. So by default, and if Joe Biden, if he were to enter, but not that that would be a miraculously salvific event, but at least I think he's well-balanced, and maybe less so than Sanders, who's going to get a lot of opposition because of the label of socialist.
So you think socialism is the answer to our problems?
Well, I think whatever Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Finland have done have worthwhile characteristics regarding education, economy, welfare of senior citizens. Finland has only 1% of our prison population. And obviously there's demographic factors that are helpful there. But
absolutely. I was going to say, if that's true, I'd like to expect send more of our prisoners over there. But joke there. But all right. So we're running out of time. What is the main message you want people to think about today?
Despite everything, we live in a wonderful country, and we will prosper. And all the people who say we're down, going to self-destruct, I think, are erroneous. That's some of the emails I've gotten recently that using up pseudo prophecies from the past and so forth, saying our country is going to hell, and I don't think we are.
Well, do you put any stock in the Bible? Or any of these religious prophecies?
Minimal. I mean, I look upon it for advice on how to live and so forth. But to be a literalist or a fundamentalist and twist it to political meanings in current events, I'd say no.
Well, you realize that John Locke, in his famous second treatise on government, starts off with a description of Adam in paradise. So he'd be the most influential political philosopher of the last 300 years. But anyway, we got to go. I enjoyed the call.
Okay. Well, very good. Okay. Keep up the good work.
You too. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Justinian, he's been dead for a few thousand years. Sounds pretty good. The Justinian Code is this famous code that is basically a combination of Roman law with Christian gloss on it, and was very influential after its kind of rediscovery in medieval Europe. But the American legal system comes out of Britain. It was untainted by the Justinian Code for the most part. But anyway, be that as it may, we'll take a little break here. Miguel Silva is coming in. Isn't it nice to hear somebody call in who uses huge, huge. John Locke said the number one characteristic of a democracy or a worthwhile undertaking in politics is representative government. I've got a call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, it's Kelly. This is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
How are you today?
Hope you're well. Hope you're feeling good. What's up?
Oh, nothing. I just want to refute a few things that Mr. Simeon said. Okay.
Who's
apparently
Simeon?
He's reading.
Oh, Justinian. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, apparently he's reading the New York Times, and the New York Times, as you know, they're the ones that stated, we print the news, we decide what news we're going to fit print, basically.
The number one newspaper in America has a little bit of bias in it, is what you're saying.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I sure am. And also, all those 29 scientists that he was talking about, majority of them are professors. And as you know, majority of our college is left-wing leaning.
No doubt about it. Yeah. Well, as soon as he said that, it immediately popped into my mind how much these professors or these experts know about security. You can know something about the nuclear stuff in and out, but unless you attach that to knowledge of security and international relations, how much worth does it have?
Exactly. And also, what is the motive of Iran? Iran has more oil and gasoline, but they don't have a way to develop it than any other nation. So why do they need nuclear power?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Iran does have the largest natural. There is a giant, and I mean an extraordinarily big natural gas bed that is in the ocean.
Yes.
And is connected to land that I believe that they own approximately half of it. They don't need, with their oil and with their gas, they don't need any nuclear. That's true. So, you know, why do we have to say that this is a good deal because it's a deal, you know?
If you're Jewish and live in the Jewish nation of Israel, it's not a good deal.
I agree. So here's the thing, and a couple of people have said that. Marco Rubio, I believe, said that the day that he gets into the presidency, he's going to cancel this deal.
Yes, and so did Cruz.
Okay, so let me ask you, let's switch gears here for just a minute. And I want to say one thing about Marco Rubio and Cruz, Senator Cruz and Senator Rubio. Two sons of Cuban immigrants. If anybody understands the thinking of totalitarianism, it is children whose parents were in Cuba.
Yes, sir. And those that have escaped that area. And that deal also with Cuba has not relaxed or stop doing their jailing of opposition.
Jerry, they doubled down. You saw that when we made a deal with Iran, some weird thing happened where they doubled their executions between the time that we started, you know, making an agreement with them. They decided for whatever reason to double, and it went from like 400 to 800. You know, and a lot of times in these countries, the very best people are the ones that are killed. I mean, you know, and a lot of these countries, being a Christian is a death sentence. And when has Obama ever stood up for Christians being persecuted overseas?
I don't know. I didn't see him invite some kids that were kicked out of school for reading the Bible to the White House to show off their Bible like they did with the guy with the clock.
Well, maybe the president saw what's the name of the movie? Yellow Brick Road.
I don't know.
Wizard
of Oz.
Maybe he wants a clock for a heart, but. Anyway, okay, so Donald Trump said apparently did not respond to someone who disparaged Muslims, but it seems to me we've got an issue, the same issue that Europe has. If we have a bunch of people coming in from a Muslim country, some of which are undoubtedly fanatical, others are probably just everyday people, how many Muslims can you take into the country before you start changing the opinion of what government should look like?
Not only the opinion of government, but the rights that were originally existed in there while they were allowed to come in.
I've got a number of books. I've got a couple of books on Muslim and human rights, and if you look in the history of Islam overseas, there is no idea of human rights in these countries. So anyway, Jerry, thanks for the call. Ask you this: I'm sure that whatever was said, and I'm trying to load this comment by Trump about the. Trump and Obama's a Muslim. He's not an American. Donald Trump didn't respond to this. So therefore Donald Trump is cursed. But I want to ask you this. I'm trying to remember how many Assyrians they said that America is going to take. Are you concerned about taking in large numbers of Muslims I'm not talking about American Muslims who are from America, who grow up here and understand our way of doing things. At what percent of bringing Muslims into the country is it a bad idea to, the country's citizenship ultimately decides what's going to happen in the country. If 50 or 60 or 70% of the people in this country decided we don't need a constitution, at some point we're going to stop using, right? So, I mean, if we start building up a large number of foreign-born Muslims in this country, I think that could possibly, and I'll get your opinion on 523-1450, 805-6180, the question that I'll throw out there is, could it affect our...
We have a great community, and so that's, you know, we all want the same thing. We need to work towards the same thing.
We want the same thing, unless we're part of this crime syndicate that's running the city and county. But we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
You ought to worry less about Obamacare and your guy, the Trumper, being a birther and not stepping up to the plate with that whack job conservo kook over there in New Hampshire. Maybe you ought to worry about more about that. And Mr. Silva, I give you some good. I can't vote for you because I live in Mesilla. But, you know, good luck to you.
I didn't know there was a mental hospital in Mesilla, Frankie.
No, there isn't. You know, just nothing but braininess over here. Lots of braininess. Very smart. There's nobody here that's kooky with birther stuff over here.
Well, thank you, Frankie. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for the insults. Did you have any content of your comments? Hello, Frankie.
Hello? What? I'm sorry. There was a disconnect here.
Well, I'm sorry, but we had we absorbed the insults, and you got about 10 seconds. Was there any? Did you have any content to your commentary?
Oh, yeah, that was it. I just wanted to insult, you know, conservatives who follow Trumper and the rest of the kooky crowd out there that believe Barack Obama's, you know, not born in the United States, for crying out loud. crying out loud. That's all I wanted to point out. You have a good weekend, you guys.
I'm going to come to the institution and bring you a bologna sandwich later. Thank you. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. This is Ralph.
5 seconds, Ralph. Real quick.
Hey, Squeaky wouldn't have survived in the Shia in the 30s. He'd have been tarred and feathered.
Thank you. All right, we're out of time.
Mr. Kelly, Ken, and I'll take you up on your invitation to come in on Fridays.
Thanks a lot. God bless you. We'll take you out with a little Sanford, son. Thanks for coming on, Big Al. Have a great day, folks. Ciao. Great weekend.